The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, we are back in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, ESPN Rochester, your home for the College Football National Championship. Coverage starting tonight at 6:30, and if we're talking college football, we got to bring in our superhero of the spread from rotoworld.com, Thor Nystrom, joining us. Thor, how you been?
I've been great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, finally, here we go. In this, we have high expectations tonight. Alabama and Clemson. This line, Thor, opened up at 9, and it's gone down to 5.5. Alabama favored by 5.5. Why the movement, Thor?
Because some people like Clemson, including your boy. Clemson's gotten a lot of the money. That the first line that came out with -9, that came out during the Alabama-Oklahoma game. I think it dropped in the second quarter. Bet Online did with, like, low limits. And then pro bettors just bang Clemson. You know, by the time that game was done, Alabama was -6. And then, of course, it quickly sort of, you know, creeped down. But now we've sort of settled in that dead zone, you know, like the Vegas dead zone between 5 and 5.5. Is kind of what I'm seeing. But yeah, there are some people on Clemson tonight.
When we look at the talent in this game, and you guys do a great job with Tony Pauline, you have potentially 13 guys, according to his grade, that could be drafted in rounds one, rounds two. So for the listener right now that maybe tunes in just a couple of times a year to college football tonight, being one of them, who are some of the players, some of the names we can expect to see playing on Sunday next year, Thor?
Yeah, first of all, I mean, you know, anyone out there that, you know, that very, very casual college football fan, tune into this game. Like, this is crazy. You know, the way that I think of it, or the way that I talk about it, it's, we have two concurrent dynasties going on in an era of college football where they've made a bunch of rules that should knock these dynasties down, you know, that should facilitate more parity, you know, with the opening of, you know, the lessening of transfer restrictions and, you know, everybody having access to national television and the money that brings and the exposure that brings, all this different stuff. But we have these two teams that have clearly risen above, you know, everybody else and are in some stage of a dynasty. And yeah, I mean, this thing's going to be a treat. You know, this thing is going to be Balboa Creed. You know, we have Bama, Clemson, 4. And then as far as the talent on the field, man, I mean, you throw a dart and hit a first-round pick, you know, on the field. Just all kinds of guys. The guys specifically, like, for your listeners to take a look at, this isn't the most sexy thing. Like, the sexy thing is watching, you know, Tua run around and hit people downfield and Trevor Lawrence doing his thing and Travis Etienne. But none of those guys are draft eligible this year. So the guys that you should watch for are actually in the trenches. Both defensive lines, extremely talented. Quinnen Williams, the Alabama defensive tackle, might be the best player in the nation. Absolute stud, you know, top three prospect in the NFL draft. He plays next to Raekwon Davis, who's another top 15 guy. Raekwon, huge, you know, 6'7", you know, 300-plus pounder. And then on the other side, you know, Clemson, Dexter Lawrence isn't going to be playing in this game. You know, he got suspended. You know, for the previous game as well, he's out for the whole playoff. But even without him, and Dexter Lawrence himself is a Clemson defensive tackle, he's also a round one prospect. But even without him, Clemson has at least two guys that are probably going to go in the first round this spring in Clelin Ferrell and Christian Wilkins. And they're backup edge defenders, like this five star freak off the edge who they bring in off the bench. That kid could go, Xavier Thomas I'm referring to, that kid could be a first-rounder down the line. He's probably going to be an All-American prospect next year. But because they have two studs on the edge there, he's got to come off the bench. The other guy there is Austin Bryant, plays across from Farrell in the starting lineup. But, man, anywhere, I mean, Deontay Thompson, you go a couple levels back on Alabama, a safety, he's going to, you know, he's going to go in first round. Mac Wilson, their linebacker, Alabama's linebacker, he could go. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on.
Thor Nystrom, rotoworld.com, and you got to read his Alabama-Clemson mega preview. It is insane at rotoworld.com. Real quick, Thor, how many words on this one?
7,500.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Bang your chest, man. That's impressive, impressive work. Now, I wanted to get to Clemson here a little bit and give Dabo Swinney a little bit of credit. Earlier this year, he made the move away from Kelly Bryant to Trevor Lawrence. Did he make that move specifically for tonight?
I think so. You know, we saw this game last year, and, you know, that game was Jalen Hurts against Kelly Bryant, right? Like, in the semifinal, and Clemson just couldn't do anything on offense. You know, at that time, Alabama had the number one defense in the nation, just like Clemson has going into this game. And, you know, Kelly Bryant's fine. You know, he's a big dual threat kid, but really struggles in the pocket. And, I mean, you know, I hate to say he's probably a good kid and whatnot, but you're not going to win a national title with Kelly Bryant. He's a mid-tier FBS-type starter. And, yeah, I mean, you know, Clemson had to raise their ceiling considerably to win this game. And so, you know, I think, you know, even as soon as the aftermath of that semifinal game where Clemson just got absolutely dominated, you know, and then knowing that Lawrence was going to be coming in, you know, in that class, you know, for this season, I think the wheels were already turning. And at that point, it just became about, like, you can't bench Bryant, you know, the established starter. You can't bench him in August, right, or July or June or whatever. You know, you have to have the guise of a competition. And, you know, the players on that team need to know that, like, Lawrence, like, you know, beat him out. And so, you know, they needed some exposure to him in practices. And even though Kelly Bryant was there, you know, at the beginning of the season, they hadn't lost the game. They beat Texas A&M, like, all that kind of stuff. But they benched him in September. And, yes, to your question, absolutely. Like, the reason for that was raising the ceiling of this team to national title, you know, caliber team, specifically with Alabama in mind. Because if you looked at a reality where there's only 129 FBS teams, like Alabama just doesn't exist or whatever, they wouldn't have had to switch off of Kelly Bryant. They probably would have won the national title with Kelly Bryant. I mean, you know, if Kelly Bryant was facing Notre Dame, I still think Clemson wins. And even if he was against Oklahoma, with the defense Clemson has, they would have had a decent shot there too. So yeah, Lawrence was the guy that raises your ceiling enough that you got a shot, you know, against the champ basically.
Let's go back to Dexter Lawrence. We're talking to Thor Nystrom from RotoWorld.com. You could read his piece right now. Dexter Lawrence, the Clemson Tigers were able to get away with it against Notre Dame, but without him tonight, is that front four, are they good enough to still get pressure on Alabama's quarterback without blitzing?
I believe so. I mean, you know, we'll see, right? But I believe so. You know, the edge players that Clemson has, you put them up against any team in the country. You know, again, having three guys, you know, on the edge that they can rotate in that are going to be, you know, at the end of the day, round one or, you know, potentially round two picks. But, they, I mean, they're all going high. So, yeah, I think they can. And, like, to your point about Lawrence, Dexter Lawrence, I mean, you know, going into that Notre Dame game, you know, last week or whatever, like, there was some concern about, okay, well, now, you know, obviously they had this sick offensive, you know, defensive line before, but now you take out, you know, one of the round one guys, a Vita Vea type prospect, you know, I mean, Dexter Lawrence is like this monster inside, you know, dancing bear, you know, knocking heads, occupying blockers, like, you know, stuff in the run, like all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, you were kind of wondering, like, well, you know, how are they going to match the Notre Dame? Can Notre Dame take advantage of that at all? I mean, you know, Clemson came into that game easily the number one run defense in the nation. Like, they're number one in like, most of the advanced metrics, like, even, like, the granular ones, you know, whatever. And they were able to shut down Notre Dame's running game, even without Dexter. They obviously shut down the offense as a whole. And the kid that his backup is, like, a day three pick, you know, like, you know, Clemson's backup defensive tackle or whatever. So it's not like, you know, they've sort of jumped off a cliff. Like, people like this Albert Huggins. And, you know, I'm not going to say he's like a, you know, an upgrade as a pass rusher, but, you know, he's more active, whereas Lawrence is more of an occupier and like a physical freak, you know, that's just like really difficult to deal with, specifically on, you know, with the run and stuff. So I don't think that his loss affects Clemson's pass rush much at all. And to me, the Clemson pass rush in this game is the most important singular thing of anything that we're going to see.
Thor Nystrom, RotoWorld.com, with his Alabama Clemson mega preview. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Thor, I want to talk about Tua Tagovailoa and how he's going to look tonight against that Clemson defense. We saw him put up good numbers against Oklahoma. This will be a big test. We know that the stage isn't too big for him. He's been on this platform before. What are your expectations out of Tua tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll answer your question by saying this. If he is kept clean in the pocket, he's going to do damage. You know, I mean, Clemson secondary is the thing that you would attack, you know, if you had your druthers going into a game, if you're game planning for them. The issue is, though, what can derail that Alabama passing offense? It's not necessarily talent in secondary. Obviously, that helps a ton. But the key thing is, can you get a rush on Tua without devoting blitzers? Because if you have to, you know, to generate pressure, if you have to blitz, Alabama's got you. You know, I mean, they rip people that start to blitz them because they start to panic. But if Clemson is able to generate pressure with four or maybe five rusher, but particularly with four, if you see early in the game that they are getting penetration without blitzing, Alabama fans should be like, uh-oh. Because that, you know, that's the one way you can take Tua away. Tua's Tua, right? Like, you know, great player. If he gets time in the pocket, he's going to hit those receivers. But, you know, here's one of my issues with it, right? Like, if the pass rush for Clemson is just firing on all cylinders early, and Alabama's a good offensive line, but, you know, it's not like elite like Clemson's defensive line is. And if Clemson's getting into the backfield without devoting blitzers, you're going to start to see sort of the Tua that you saw against Georgia, you know, where he's like sort of running around and, you know, he'll never say die. You know, he's not going to give up on the play. You know, where some other guys would just, you know, throw it away or whatever. Like, he's always looking downfield. He's always trying to make a play. And that's where we start to see Tua make some mistakes, you know, when he gets into that scenario. So very, very important for Alabama's offensive line to keep Tua clean. If they can do it, absolutely. Tua is going to rip Clemson secondary if he's got time to throw. But he's going up against, you know, one of the you know, best pass rushers in the nation. So we'll see if he can.
We're talking to Thor Nystrom, RotoWorld.com. Thor, we'll wrap up the interview with your pick. I wanted to get your thoughts here, and so does Danger. A couple quarterbacks declaring for the draft here, Haskins or Ohio State. But let's start with Tyree Jackson, UB. Now, we knew Jackson wasn't coming back to Buffalo. Talk of him transferring somewhere. But now, according to his social media post, he is declaring for the NFL draft. Is this a good thing for Jackson, or is this a mistake in your opinion?
Yeah, and first to the last point, you know, just so the listeners are clear, I'm taking Clemson with the point. I'm also going to take Clemson outright. With regards to Jackson, honestly, it was one of those news pieces that actually kind of like punched me in the gut. You know, as somebody who covers this for my job, but also, like, you know, I'm not just like some jaded like old writer that does, like, I love this stuff. You know, I'm a fan as much as I am a writer. And you guys know, because I talk to you, you know, all season, week in and week out. I love the Buffalo Bulls this year, and I loved watching Tyree Jackson develop. You know, and he made strides this season. The skill set was already there. The skill set is ridiculous, and he did take positive steps forward. But that, you know, the concern was always how raw he is, how inconsistent he is, stuff like that. And he did make a nice step forward this year. He really had to go back to school, though. You know, he just had to. You know, and I get it, like. You know, it's not a very good quarterback class, right? Like, I'm sure we'll get to this in a second with like Dwayne Haskins and stuff, but it's a very bad quarterback class. So, you know, I understand being in Tyree's position where it's like, well, you know, Johnson could be gone and KJ Osborne could be gone and, you know, everybody's going to be gone and we're going to be down and I don't want to be, you know, a man here by myself or whatever. And maybe I can take advantage of the situation. And who knows, maybe I go to the combine and I'm 6'7", 245 and, you know, I'm more mobile than a lot of these guys who are smaller than me. Certainly, I have a stronger arm than just about anybody here. And so maybe the NFL is just going to, like, fall in love with me. The issue for him, though, is people get into the tape, right? Like, the tape is more important than the combine. You know, the combine, I mean, it's great. You know, it's great that you can throw the ball a mile and you're huge and you can run around and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, from watching Buffalo as close as I did the past couple of years, Tyree's, like, an interesting player in that for stretches, he'll look like a world beater. You know, he'll just be like ripping people up, right? You know, like, you know, he'll be hitting throws over the intermediate sector. He'll do the thing where, like, you know, someone will get penetration and he'll sort of shake them because he's really hard to get on the ground. And now he's like rolling outside the pocket. You think he's going to pull it down and run. And then he just like uncorks one like 70 yards down the field to like Anthony Johnson for, you know, a touchdown or whatever. So there are those stretches, but then there's other long stretches where he just goes into the tank and is nowhere near an NFL type quarterback, you know, with inconsistencies, with accuracy, just inconsistencies overall. And another sort of like troubling thing about his game, you know, when I was sort of observing him, was there would be specific games where like one or two things would go wrong and then Tyree would just sort of like go into the tank where mistakes could compound on themselves. And since he's not, you know, accuracy isn't his number one thing, he is going to make mistakes, you know, and reading defenses, like, you know, there's some time to go with that as well. And when he makes one mistake, like, you just got to come back the next time, forget it, and just be Tyree and do those kind of things. But he would press, it would get in his head, you'd see him on the sidelines, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, like, for instance, the Ohio game, you know, is one that's like jumping, you know, into my head or whatever. But, you know, we saw that. And so, like, when people get into his tape, you know, I think this is what's hard again, because I love the kid, but like, you know, is he a much, much better prospect, for instance, than Jared Evans, who made a mistake in declaring early from Virginia Tech a couple years ago? He might be a little bit better, but, you know, I'm not sure that it's significant. Well, Jared Evans went undrafted, right? And then when you talk about, like, Cardale Jones, right? Like, you know, you'll get some of the Tyree, like, Cardale Jones-type comps, and it makes a lot of sense. You know, big guy with a bazooka and stuff like that. Cardale had proven more, I think, you know, even in less time, you know, less exposure, he proven that he could do more and perhaps had a higher upside than Tyree, because we saw him under the bright lights. We saw him lead a team to a national title, even though Cardale, you know, sort of made a mistake in coming back, because then some of the holes in his game got exposed. But, you know, what I would have suggested to Tyree, if he called me up and asked, you know, for my opinion, is that those holes that were in Cardale's game, you know, the people just nitpicked over and over and over again, that's going to be Tyree's reality for the next 4 months. It doesn't matter how big he is. It doesn't matter how big his arm is, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Like, sure, you know, people are going to dream a little bit. But once they start getting into the tape with some of this different stuff, you know, it's going to be the same thing as with Cardale and Jared Evans, where people are like, man, that what an intriguing skill set. So intriguing. He really needed at least one more year in college. Like, one more year in college, we could have seen it. And the last thing to the grad transfer point, you know, what specifically, you know, got me with the gut punch on this one was, the first reports we saw on Tyree Jackson, like after that bowl game against Troy, that were coming out, was that he was thinking about grad transferring. And I just thought that was such an inspired idea, you know, because, you know, as much as I love Buffalo, because, you know, if Johnson's gone next year, if Osborne's gone next year, et cetera, and you're this like super raw guy, like, you know, I would understand as an NFL showcase, like, well, maybe I jump up to the Power Five now. Maybe I'm playing with, you know, better skill guys on the outside and, you know, and better running back. And I can do like all my different stuff. And you know, and he could cherry pick his quarterback coach and his head coach, right? Like, and put himself in the perfect situation. And there's a whole bunch of teams that were interested, right? Like, you know, like big names, like, you know, like Auburn and Florida State and teams like that. And locally, you know, I'm coming to you guys from Minneapolis. I had it on pretty good authority that the Gophers were interested. And P.J. Fleck, of course, comes from the MAC. You know, I mean, I think he knows Tyree's game pretty good. Minnesota might have an NFL receiver coming back next year in Tyler Johnson. And then they had this true freshman on the other side, Rashad Bateman, who I think is going to be an NFL prospect down the line. They had a lot of guys coming back. You know, whether it was, you know, taking over for Stidham at Auburn, whether it was going to Florida State, playing in Kendall Briles' offense, whether it was, you know, going to a school like Minnesota where you can be the dude, where it's all, you know, like, the lights are on you and you get to be you, Tyree. I just thought it was such an inspired idea. And then to get that report that he was bolting for the NFL draft, I shook my head in the same way that I did with, you know, with Jared Evans and situations like that. I believe that he has made a mistake. And the issue for him is, this isn't like the NBA, you know, where, like, you know, like, I don't know, like Hassan Whiteside back in the day, for instance, you know, like, he jumps after his freshman year or whatever. He drops to the second round, and then he washed out of the NBA. But now he can go to China, you know, and he's like playing over there, and he's getting better. Like, the, you know, the facet of his game that wasn't as good that caused him to get pushed out, he's working on all that stuff. Well, all of a sudden, you know, he gets his shot in the NBA, like on a minimum contract for the Heat, and he does like super duper good, you know, and then he made a whole bunch of money. But in the NFL, it doesn't really work that way. I mean, for instance, Jared Evans enters the 2017 draft, you know, he, with, you know, his eyes are big as saucers. You know, I'm Jared Evans, and I did all this stuff in Fuente's first season. Like, I'm going to go super high. You know, they're going to see it. My tools are awesome. And then he goes undrafted, and he was able to be in a training camp of one team. And then he might have even been on another team's practice squad during the 2017 season, just briefly. The 2018 season, he's now playing for, like, I don't know, the Omaha Rough Riders or some, you know, I don't know if it's the Arena League or
Prestige.
One of these secondary leagues. I looked it up on Wikipedia, because even though this just happened, and I'm a huge football fan, I do this for my job, I don't even know what Jared Evans is up to. And for me, my fear for Tyree is, 2 years from now, I'm going to be sitting there thinking, like, man, that Buffalo team was super fun. And if Tyree had just, like, come back, you know, or grad transfer or whatever, he would have had a much better shot here, you know, in the NFL. Maybe I could have enjoyed his work for longer. But if you're a really raw guy in an era in the NFL where a lot of teams, you know, only keep two active quarterbacks or whatever, it's really hard to convince a coaching staff, like, no, take a chance on me, like, develop me. you know, when they know for a fact that you can't play for at least 2 years, because that's a situation here. There's a lot to fix there, even though the template's awesome. There's a lot to fix here. And so I just don't know if the time is, as much as I hate to say, because I love watching that kid. You know, I really did.
But Thor, what about Dwayne Haskins? I mean, you know, I think a lot of what you just said could probably apply to the Ohio State quarterback who today announced that he will also be entering the NFL draft. My eyes just don't see it, and I see Cardell with maybe gaudier numbers. But what are your thoughts on Dwayne Haskins entering the NFL draft?
Yeah, Haskins is interesting, and he has proven more than Jackson did. You know, I mean, we saw him light up some good defenses. I mean, you know, going back to the whole tape thing, when NFL scouts start to watch his tape against Michigan, they're going to be just salivating, right? And so, like, it goes the other way with a guy like that where he has some good games. Obviously, there was other games where he didn't. You know, like, you know, Purdue game is the obvious one. Maryland was another sort of off-the-radar one. But I'm sort of with you, you know, just in that, you know, Dwayne Haskins is going to be like a top 10 overall guy.
It's insane.
And, you know, I haven't gotten deep into my film work this year, but I watch as much college football as anybody that I know, and I watched plenty of Ohio State this year. I just didn't see it with him as a top 10 guy. I mean, he's another guy that I would have liked to have gone back to school to work on a little bit more, but I would not have advised him to go back to school. I would have advised him to jump, because we know that he's going to be a really high pick, because he's entering this terrible quarterback class, and he did have some good tape out there. But there are some things with his profile that do kind of concern me a bit. You know, I mean, we know reliably what, you know, one thing that leads to quarterback bust. There's no one thing that, you know, one metric you can look to and then be like, oh, this guy's going to be a bust or whatever. But, you know, there's like the concept of like the Bill Parcells rules, you know, and all those different things. And the fact that we haven't seen much of Haskins, we only saw him in this, you know, limited sample, you know, 1 year. It's kind of like a Mitch Trubisky thing, you know, where he was on the bench for a couple of years and then he got a shot and he was surrounded by NFL guys. I mean, like, you know, Ohio State, man, on the perimeter, they had all sorts of NFL guys, great athletes and everything like that. You know, on film, it is going to look pretty good. But there are some inconsistencies there. I wonder if he's going to be a guy who can elevate an NFL offense by himself. And that's where it kind of loses it for me. I you know, for me, he's a boom or bust guy. I think if he booms, absolutely, you know, he's going to be worth a top 10 pick. He's probably going to be worth the number one pick if he absolutely booms. But it is a dice roll. And for me, like, if I'm in the top 10, I'm not rolling the dice on a guy where I'm not sure. Like, for instance, I never would have drafted Mitch Trubisky number one. That season, my quarterbacks were Deshaun Watson number one, Mahomes number two, huge drop, Trubisky, huge drop, Kaiser. I just get afraid for some guys like that. And Dwayne Haskins, one other thing with him, you know, a kind of quirk like with Tyree, you would notice this propensity if things were going wrong, that he could also let some mistakes compound. And I think that led to some less than stellar games against, you know, less than great teams. But obviously in the vast majority of games, he was putting up stats. But, man, what an offense to do it in, you know, where you have three or four, you know, fleet receivers on the outside. And, you know, I mean, you guys watched the Michigan game, but, like, you know, like Ryan Day and Urban, they're just like calling for their receivers to like do all these slants and get these phone booth Michigan, you know, linebackers into space. And all have, you know, Haskins got to throw it, you know, 6 yards upfield and just a little bit in front of, you know, Paris Campbell or Johnny Dixon or like, you know, any of these guys, as long as he gets them on their fingertips and they're moving at full speed, Michigan linebackers, they ain't going to catch them, you know, then they're just going to run for a long time. So the offense was conducive to success there for Haskins. And despite that, you know, the Ohio State offense at times was not scary because the running game like played down and like stuff like that. So there are concerns that I have about him. I think he is going to go real, real high. I think he is going to come out of this as QB1. And some team's going to talk themselves into him. And if, you know, maybe he booms and also maybe he doesn't. And maybe he just becomes like a Trubisky level type, you know, like the 23rd best starter in the NFL, you know, or something like that. We'll just have to see.
Thor Nystrom, you can read his work, RotoWorld. We'll tweet out that link as well as get you some reading tonight before the national championship game. Thor likes Clemson and the 5.5 points. Thor, we all should point out this was a decent bowl season for you, and the orange came up big for you, buddy. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that, oh my gosh, that game was, I had more money on that one than any game this season. It was my favorite pick. of the Bulls. And I was telling you guys, like, right from the jump, like, that line was ridiculous. I thought it should have been close to pick, even when with Greer playing, and then, you know, Greer and Jose and Jennings and everything like that. And I was just convinced. I was all over it. And, in fact, I was so confident that my sister and my aunt, they were out there from – my sister had a work trip in Vegas. And, you know, my sister was telling me, like, oh, the Orange are going to be on. And I was like, the first thing you do when you get to your hotel, I need you to find a big room that has a bunch of TV screens on, and you're going to see, like, tickers and stuff like that. Find a sheet that says college football. Scroll down. Find the Syracuse-West Virginia game, especially if that line's under 3, whatever you can afford. You know, whatever. So my sister and my aunt end up putting, you know, I think they went 150 each on Syracuse minus 2.5. It's, you know, everyone is happy in the Nyström household.
Very good. And 28-19 against the spread this bowl season. Clemson, the pick tonight. Thor Nyström, you can read his work at rotoworld.com. The mega preview, well worth your time as we get ready for tonight's national championship game. Thor, we look forward to talking to you again soon. It's draft season, baby. We're going to be spending some more time talking to you here later this offseason.
Draft season. Can't wait to be back, guys. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate you.
Thor Nyström, always bringing it in the sports bar.
Boy, and that, yeah, if you want to read up on tonight's game, as far as some of the guys you'll see coming up in April, reading about for the NFL draft, this is the one you got to read. So go look that up. We'll tweet out that link. Coming up, we'll have I'll drink to that here. Danger, I'm going to give you what the Chicago Bears must do. I know you're going to disagree with me on this. And also got a little scoopage here when it comes to soccer. In our community, what are the Dworkins up to? Interesting place they were spotted on Saturday night.
I'll let you know what good coaching in the NFL looks like. It was on display yesterday in the wild card round of the NFL playoffs. That's I'll drink to that. We give you provocative thoughts from around the world of sports. You're always welcome to agree or disagree. Join us by calling 454-ESPN, 454-3776. More next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24-7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Scores, stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.